Hello everybody, I'm George from Ireland. Welcome back to the channel. And it will be Tuesday, I think, that will mark half a century since Margaret Thatcher was elected leader of the Conservative Unionist and the Unionist Party. So time to take stock, reflect on her legacy, and remember what a seismic moment it was, because not only had no British political party ever been led by a woman, no woman had even contested the leadership of the party. So the party had lost two elections in 1974, one of only 2 years in the 20th century, which were two elections in a single year, the other one being 2010. So Heath had led the Conservative Party into four elections and lost three of them. Now that is a uniquely dismal record, but then he thought he had to have another leadership election really to secure his position. And so there were new rules of that. Because there was a lot of carping within the party saying that Edward Heath should stand down. So an election was held. Remember, it's only amongst members of Parliament allowed to vote, not the ordinary members. And the standard bearer of the right in those days was Sir Keith Joseph, barrister, fellow of All Souls College, Oxford, and really proto-Thatcherite. Said we should end this buskillism, the consensus between Labour and the Conservative parties about management of the economy, and we should be more deregulation, more privatization. But then he made some unguarded remarks saying that women of low intelligence were having too many children. People felt this is like eugenics. So really that was the end for him. I mean, he was in Thatcher's cabinet, but he couldn't be a leadership candidate. Were it not for that, Margaret Thatcher wouldn't have stood for the leadership then, and maybe never stood for the leadership. So she contested the leadership. And so Alan Clark, in his history of the Tory party, said, oh, people wanted to bring down Edward Heath, but not many people wanted Thatcher to win. Well, we have to vote for her because we can't have a really dismal result. It'd look bad for the party if a woman gets a terrible bruise in this election. And remember, women are about 5% of MPs in those days. So in the first round, Maggie Thatcher came out on top, shocked people by getting 47% of the vote, much more than was expected. Heath narrowly behind. Hugh Fraser, who was seen as a foaming at the mouth right winger, came third. But more people entered the race. At that point, Heath bowed out, saying, "Okay, well, I can't carry on because clearly I'm held below the waterline." The sitting leader has had 57% of his own MPs vote against him. He's just lost his authority. Though I think theoretically he was allowed to contest a second ballot, but chose not to. The second ballot, Willie Whitelaw entered the race, seen as a bit of a wet, eventually Deputy Prime Minister under Margaret Thatcher. But Thatcher got an absolute majority, got 53% of the votes, followed by Willie Whitelaw. Geoffrey Howard come in, sometime her Deputy Prime Minister as well. Jim Pryor, who was Secretary of State for Northern Ireland in the 1980s, and John Paton. Nobody's ever heard of him. Even I hadn't heard of him till the other day, only got four votes. So that was it, her becoming leader of Her Majesty's most loyal opposition. I remember Thatcher had been Education Secretary in the early 70s in the Heath cabinet, a conventional Heathite minister. And there was no sign that she was going to go monetarist in the 1980s. And there's some famous footage of her speaking to some primary school children. And one of them asks her about a woman being prime minister. And she said, "In my lifetime, no woman will ever be prime minister." 6 years later, she was the first woman to be prime minister of the United Kingdom. Now there have been three. And all political parties except Labour have been led by a woman. So it was obviously far from clear that she's going to win. Even after she became leader of the Conservative Party, it wasn't clear that she was going to win a general election in 1979. So she permanently changed the political consensus. She effectuated various changes that Labour never sought to change back about various privatisations. Because huge swathes of the British economy were owned by the state, and in the word British in it, like British Airways, British home stores, it's BHS, British Oxygen Company, British Gas, British Telecom. There were even some national restaurants. I can't think of what else there was. And she said, no, she believed in real capitalism. That's more efficient. But she did say privatizing Royal Mail, that would be a step too far, even for her. So a lot of changes brought in her. And the thing that really dogged the British economy in the 1970s was inflation. Well, there was stagflation, stagnation and inflation, fairly high unemployment, a lot of strikes, prices and incomes policy. And she said, the government should be out of prices and incomes. We don't care. We don't try and regulate that. The market will sort it out. She said, I learnt these lessons at my father's knee when he's running his three corner shops in Grantham, Lincolnshire. He pulled himself up by his bootstraps, beginning full-time work at the age of 12, saving up his farthings, eschewing alcohol, cigarettes, theatre and the cinema, just to plough all to his business and then have some modest comfort by the time he was middle-aged. And we can't be spending beyond our means. But so Thatcher, she did bring inflation under control in the 1980s, but the cost of that was high unemployment, 15% unemployment. 15%. That was 3.5 million people unemployed, and it wasn't evenly spread throughout the United Kingdom. Northern Ireland was severely hit. Strabane, County Tyrone, had the highest unemployment in the United Kingdom. So Scotland, Northern England, Wales badly affected. Southern England, particularly the southeast, unemployment was low. So it led to a rise in crime, led to a lot of family breakdown, a lot of drug abuse, all the things the Conservatives were supposedly against. So she had this dangerous certainty about what she was doing, had sort of tunnel vision, and couldn't accept that she might need to moderate, that she wasn't quite right, though she was actually more restrained, more cautious in her first term. A lot of grandees didn't accept her. She'd come from a lower middle class background. She didn't go to a well-known public school. Yes, she went to Oxford and she was called to the bar and all the rest of it. She wasn't from a grand enough background. Was she really going to last? So her own position in the party wasn't that safe. But when there was a resounding electoral victory in 1983, after the Falklands War of 1982, at that point, she really was rock solid, was able to weed out the wets. Wets were moderate conservatives, often blue bloods, who felt some sort of noblesse oblige and believed that they shouldn't make life too difficult for hoi polloi, because then that might lead to revolution. Believed that were one nation conservatives, recording what Benjamin Disraeli wrote, and I think it was Coningsby, there are two nations, the rich and the poor. We must bring them together to one nation, and the wealthy have an obligation to make sure life isn't too bad for the working class. Otherwise, there'll be a revolution. The castle's unsafe if the cottage is unhappy. But Thatcher didn't hold with that. She had no class guilt, had no privileged ancestors to live down. And that's went full steam ahead with all her policies, even when it caused higher unemployment. So Thatcher was quite divisive. I'm not an economist, and yes, inflation is bad. Was mass unemployment worse? I'm minded to say that it was. And then you think of all these millions of people doing nothing, achieving nothing, absorbing wealth, not generating wealth, because they're not working. They could be making goods or providing services. They weren't doing anything. So in that sense, she was quite a baleful influence on the body politic. So she's not quite an idol that she once was. Not many people go around calling themselves Thatcherites, and was perhaps sometimes too rigid. And her conviction was sometimes too strong in what she was doing. So that was a Thatcher. Well, they don't make them like that anymore. She lasted 15 years as leader of the Conservative Party. And the only person who's lasted a similar length of time is Blair, was leader of the Labour Party for, was it 13 years? Changing them all the time now. But maybe that's a healthier thing. And of course, later this year, with the centenary of her birth, 13th of October, and the Conservative Party would always arrange the Conservative Conference to go through the 13th of October when she was leader, so they could sing a happy birthday while she waved to them frantically from the stage. Right, toodaloo.